Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq on a night, a blessed night of Jummah, on the night of forgiveness. Allah ta'ala has bestowed this night with a lot of His ni'mas, a lot of His bounties and favors. And we could speak for a long time about this. But inshallah, on the Day of Judgment, when Allah Ta'ala spreads out and distributes the rewards of doing ibadah and remembering Him on such a night, then we will realize the greatness of this opportunity. In terms of blessings and reward, the night of Jummah is great in status. If you take the whole summary and conclusion of the week, then the ulama, the scholars have stated that this day of Jummah, which is tomorrow, and this night which precedes the day, Allah Ta'ala has put all of the blessings and fayuz and barakat of the week into this day and night. And Allah Ta'ala says that for 24 hours, my rahmah, my mercies, my blessings focus, pay attention to the dunya, to the makhluk, that if there's somebody from the creation who raises his hands and ask Allah Ta'ala for his bounty. So it starts from after Maghrib, and the doors of Jannah open, Allah Ta'ala's doors of mercy open, and further, thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands, maybe millions will be forgiven on the blessed night of Jummah. There'll be majalis, gatherings around the world. We don't know which gathering is blessed or which person is sincere, who's got a clean heart. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to go to and sit down and be included in such gatherings where there are sincere people, where their hearts are clean, where Allah Ta'ala accepts their ibadah. I mean, so sin and forgiveness are two opposite things. Committing the sin, sometimes people commit so many sins that they lose count how many sins they've committed. But nobody can say for sure when Allah Ta'ala's mercy will rain down, when will that person be forgiven, when will Allah Ta'ala surround that person with His mercies. Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to stay in this world, and Allah Ta'ala has allowed me to come here on this night to sit with you, to be in your company, to speak with you, with this intention that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, I don't want to give a bayan or speech or lecture to the brothers. And the maqsad, the objective is not a huge quantity of people or fame and fanfare. The objective is that even if there's two or three, even if there's a few of us, but the gathering should be beneficial. If this small gathering of ours becomes beneficial on this basis, that Allah Ta'ala forgives us on this night, and we go from this gathering forgiven, then what better benefit can there be than this? I am hopeful in front of Allah Ta'ala that this majlis, this gathering, that from the last 40 years, alhamdulillah, my colleagues and we have gathered together, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, I cannot be more grateful to Allah, different places, different times, different generations, with the hukum of my teacher, from the elders in Islam, from the pious predecessors, this same routine is jari, it's alive. And such gatherings, when Allah Ta'ala allows them to take place, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, these majlis, if they are based on Sharia, on the guidance of Islam, and when you look at these gatherings, and the amal, the deeds, then there's a lot of weight and blessing in those gatherings. A person may become weak, he may come off the track, he may go astray, but if he goes back to a gathering where there are pious people, good people, he will benefit. But yes, if there's a gathering where there are wrong things being said, or innovative actions being done, and shaitan is there, and there are wrong things being said or done, there will be no benefit from there. But my iman, my belief, is that in a gathering behind which there's a chain, authentic chain, and Allah Ta'ala's hukam is there, and the Naqshbandi chain to which I belong to which my teacher belonged to, from which I got the ijazah, my Shaykh Hazrat Ali Murtaza, rahmatullahi, was a great Shaykh. And a person can be weak, but if he is attached to a strong chain, because from behind there's a strong slap on the back from the teacher. So my Hazrat Nur al-Murqada, rahmatullahi, used to say always that the good thing here is not that we are struggling or striving, but the good thing here is, on top of struggling and striving, whose authority is it behind your struggling and striving? Who has authorized you or given you the stamp of approval? So this is also important. I don't want to go into too much detail. It's not necessary. The kalamat that we read in dhikr, pay attention. Doesn't matter what is your intention or feeling at the time, do dua, Allah Ta'ala accepts when you recite these kalamats in the dhikr. And Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said that if Allah Ta'ala was not going to accept your deeds from the previous days and weeks, then why would He call you back to His home? If Allah Ta'ala wasn't accepting our salah, then why would He send us back to pray salah today? Allah Ta'ala called us today. Allah Ta'ala invited us today. He pulled us here today. It's not us who came, Allah Ta'ala called us here. So, person shouldn't have doubts. Oh, I'm not good a person, I'm a sinner. Allah Ta'ala says, the gathering of my dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, Allah has praised so many places, so many times. Allah Ta'ala has left no doubt, no stone unturned. Allah says, any time in your life, no moment, not a second, an hour. Even if you're going into the toilet, Allah Ta'ala says, do my dhikr by doing the dua, going in and coming out of the toilet the right way. Allah says, no moment, no phase of your life should you be negligent from the dhikr of Allah. From Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. The elders in Islam have said that a person should not spend one second of his life devoid from being in the action of doing dhikr of Allah. Allah says there's no hudud for this action. All other ibadats have hudud, have boundaries, upper limits. But Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقَعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ, that remember me standing, sitting and lying down. Hazrat Mawlana Shaykh Ali Thanvi rahmatullah said that dhikr of Allah is that ibadah for a Muslim that he does every second of his life. So brothers, remember Allah in the morning, in the evening, walking, working, loudly, silently, lying down, with wudu, in without wudu. Always, every second, you should be remembering your Creator. Every second. So this is the gathering of dhikr, alhamdulillah. That's why I'm emphasizing on this point. I go towards some points of rectification, self-rectification. If we look around at the society today around us, we will see in our society there is a very common action, and it's linked to the deen, to religion, function, which is the wedding function. Yes? Many of you will have been to a wedding function. Some people of you, some amongst you are married, some will get married, some have been married. A wedding, the marriage, when you have the word marriage and it comes up, we think about it very commonly in society. Oh, you know, celebration and traditions and preparation. When someone says, oh, you know, I'm going to go to a marriage or a wedding, then we start thinking about the preparation. For example, if I'm going to get married, I start preparing for the marriage. So what's the center point, the focus of the preparation of marriage? Book the hall, get the caterer, get the meat made, call the guests. Straight away, as soon as you think about marriage, preparation of the marriage, then a person thinks about the bride and who's the bridegroom. Who are the two who are getting married? And what's the thought about the bride? As soon as you tell somebody about a wedding event about to come up, that how shall we make up this bride? Nice, beautiful clothes. That's the first preparation. Bring the gold for her, put the mehndi on, give her glittering clothes, jewelry, 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 clothes, clothes, clothes. Make the bride beautiful, attractive. Show her off to the dunya. Make her as attractive as you can. And she wants as well, she wants to be the most beautiful woman. And she buys jewelry and gold and silver, diamond. Because jewelry is put on, adorned to make the attraction greater. Isn't it? In the same way, another point comes when we talk about wedding. Because alhamdulillah, islah, rectification is attached to iman, to our deen, to our belief. So Allah Pak wants that we Muslims, we should also adorn ourselves. We Muslims should be beautiful. Just like the bride is decorated and shown off and paraded in the wedding. But for the mu'min should decorate his iman, he should clean his iman, he should make it attractive, he should make it shine. Because we have the jewelry in the world, the gold and the silver and the diamonds. What's the jewelry for the iman, for a Muslim? Allah Ta'ala says, most definitely a Muslim has the jewelry for the iman. Allah Ta'ala has created the jewelry for belief, from which we can make it look beautiful, shine, attractive to other people, so they also come towards the deen. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that there's the jewelry for the iman. The jewelry, the adornment of iman is haya and sharm, modesty and shame. Modesty and shame. Think about this, what I'm saying. That just like a bride is decorated with the clothes and she's brought into the hall, she's got earrings and she's got this mark on the forehead and she has the henna on the hands, and then they put the ring in her nose and then around her neck and nice clothes. She's pierced her ears are pierced, her nose pierced, and she's getting ready for weeks beforehand. In the same way, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said that the jewelry that has been given to the Muslim, haya, modesty and shame, and these artifacts, these items of jewelry, just like we adorn the bride and make her beautiful and attractive, in the same way, the believer, the mu'mina or the mu'min, when he has haya, modesty, then he is beautiful, jamal, his akhlaq, his practice, his conduct becomes very good and high in status. This is very important part of iman, haya, to have modesty. Why is this? The bride, why is the bride made beautiful? Why does the bride say, make me beautiful and attractive? Why does she feel inside her heart to look good? What's the root cause of this? What's the foundation behind this? There's a reason, one reason. The bride, everybody, the bride has the most desire. Not just her parents and her relatives. She says, I want to be so beautiful and attractive that my bridegroom, he prefers me when he sees me. Let's be open and honest about it, isn't it? So that the husband accepts and brings her into the household as a nice woman. So why do we decorate our iman and make it beautiful and shiny? So we should make the iman so beautiful so that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala becomes happy with us. So that our creator, just like the husband is linked to the wife and they want to prefer each other, if she is liked by the husband, then she thinks she is successful. She has attained success and her life has started. In the same way, for example, some people, some husbands give divorce on the first day or the second day. They didn't like the wife. They thought they liked her, but they didn't like her. This is reality. This is dunya. You hear the events, the stories. And that poor woman, she's afraid. She doesn't know, will the husband like me? Will he like my character, my talking? And sometimes the husband says, oh, I prefer you. And mashallah, her life is made. The person with iman, the Muslim, he decorates his iman. He polishes his iman, his heart, his deeds. When he goes on the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala says, go my servant, I have accepted you. Imagine the happiness we will have on that day. When the husband takes the wife into his life and he's happy with her, the wife is very happy. Whatever she wants, the husband gives to her because he likes her. He prefers her. He has attraction to her. So she has become successful. And when Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala accepts his creation, Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala says, I am pleased with you, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Allah says, I have become pleased with you and you have made your iman so beautiful and attractive. Ask from me what you want. I will give to you more than a million times over than what the people in the dunya could have given to you. Ask what you want, I will give to you. Do you understand this point, brothers? Do you understand? So tell me now, I'm speaking to myself now, that I have lived all of my life, 50, 60, 70 years, my beard is white. I prostrate all day long and I creak, my bones creak. I've been Umrah. There are so many stamps in my passport. I've been Umrah. What have I done for myself? Have I beautified and decorated my iman? Have I prepared myself that I can face Allah on the day of judgment? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that iman, the belief of a Muslim, iman, the link of iman is with modesty and shame. If your modesty is intact, then your iman is good. Yes, look, for example, if you put the jewelry onto the bride, more jewelry, different styles and methods, she will become attractive. If you decorate your iman with iman in different shapes and forms, your iman will become attractive. The more haya you have, the higher the status of your iman. If your haya is low, your modesty is low, then your iman will be low. If you have no haya, then you'll have no iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that where there is iman, then there will be haya, modesty. Where there is modesty, there will be iman. And where there's no modesty in a person, there's no iman. There's no belief. Look at the difference here. So when we get haya, we will have iman. So what do we have to work on? Improving, increasing our haya. So what will we get all the rewards in the hereafter based on? Haya. Not a little bit of haya. Not a little bit of modesty and shame. Kamil iman. We have to go with kamil iman, total, complete iman to face Allah. So brothers, we have to have kamil haya, kamil shame. So this mehfil we're sitting in today, how much life have we wasted, all of us brothers sitting here? What do we need to take with us on the day of judgment to Allah? Haya, modesty and shame. We have to strengthen these characteristics. Do I have modesty on my tongue? Then I will have iman. Is there modesty where I look, my eyesight? Then I've got iman. Is there haya in my heart? I will have iman. Is there haya in my hands? I'll have iman. Is there haya in my footsteps? Then I'll have iman. All of the organs of the body, the senses and the organs, total mujassam, it makes up my body. And I have to have haya attached to all of these so I can get complete iman. Okay? So the mu'min, the believer, the definition of mu'min, believer, is that person who is immersed totally in the characteristics and attributes of haya. If there's no haya, there's no iman. And if there's no iman, there's no mu'min and there's no Muslim. So these things are intertwined, interlinked. My tongue, let's take my tongue. My eyesight. If I let these go astray, if they go towards sin and bad deeds, then there's no haya in my eyesight and my tongue. If there was haya, then my eyes would never look towards a strange ghair mahram woman or a ghair man. If I've got haya on my tongue, that's good. If there's no haya on my tongue, I will speak evil talk. If my ears, there's no haya, I will listen to evil sayings and backbiting. So all our organs, if there's no haya in them, then there's no iman. And then Allah Ta'ala will not accept the deeds of those organs. Haya is such a big thing. And haya, let me tell you, there are two such things that are lazim, essential. If we've got them, good. If we don't, then there's no iman. If there's iman, there's haya. If haya goes, then iman goes. I know I'm repeating myself, but I need to drum. Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that, you know, it's like a very thin line between iman and kufr. Let's look at our iman. Is there haya in my iman? My eyes go astray, my hands go towards wrong deeds, my ears hear the wrong things, my tongue says the wrong things, my footsteps go to the wrong gatherings. What iman have I got? I've got such a standard, such a basis that Allah Ta'ala has given to me, such a gauge, a measurement gauge, that we can start to measure our deeds giving us the rewards in the hereafter. Every one of you sitting down here can measure the iman. Am I sitting here as a true Muslim? Am I doing the deeds of a true Muslim? Because I think that ibadah, worship, means I'm a Muslim. I've done this many hajj, 5 hajj. Every day I read salah. I do this much dhikr. Alhamdulillah, this is good. It's not a bad thing. But with all of my ibadah, the worship I'm doing, is haya in my iman? Is there modesty after doing 10 hajjis on my face? Is there haya? Do I still look at women when I walk down the street after doing 10 hajj? And when I look at the opposite sex, then with my evil eyes, then do I feel shame? Do I feel low, or do I still think I'm a strong Muslim? Allah Ta'ala says, because those faces that you look towards, just like Allah Ta'ala has made us men and women, and Allah Ta'ala has given us attraction and beauty, according to that, Allah Ta'ala has given us orders that who should we sit with, who should we look at, and who should we not look at. So if I'm looking at the opposite sex without the Sharia basis, then how can haya be on my face? If my deeds and my eyesight, my organs are doing the things that are incorrect without haya, then how can my ibadah be worshipped? So haya is the center point, focus, the pivot point of the deen, upon which we have no emphasis. All of the basis of acceptance of our deeds, all of the actions and deeds in our life, where will they finish? Upon haya, upon modesty. If my eyes are doing the wrong thing, then there's no haya within me. If my mouth is saying the wrong things, then there's no haya within me. Any organ, part of my body, if it's doing the wrong thing, straight away understand, your haya is at a very weak point, it's fragile, you need to strengthen it. Soon as your haya is finishing, then your iman is finishing, it's very fragile. And if I die without haya, then the hadith states this, then you will maybe die without iman and leave this dunya as a non-believer. Maybe. So very important to pay attention to this point. Very important and essential that we, all other things we do, ibadah, worship, we emphasize on. But we don't look towards those orders, those actions, those directions that Allah Ta'ala has told us. If I don't have haya, all the ibadah I do from morning till night, if I've got haya in my life, all my worship will be full of light and nur and power. Look, one salah, one prayer is very valuable that I will not be able to even control the reward that Allah will give to me on the Day of Judgment. One prostration, Allah Ta'ala gives you the reward of Miraj on every prostration. How high is the reward for Miraj and Salah? But why don't we get this? Because without modesty, there's no sajda. Without modesty, there's no Hajj. Without modesty, there's no Umrah. Without modesty, there's no nothing. No reading of Quran. Without modesty, there's no Qirat. Without modesty, there's nothing. But when you get Haya, when you get shame, then what level would your iman go to? You cannot imagine how high and strengthened your iman will be. How cautious you will become. You'll become careful in your deeds, careful in your speech, careful in your eyesight. In Alamgiri phase, there was a Shaykh, Wali Wallah Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mawlana Ashik Rahmatullah Alayhi, his wife, and she was Zahra, she was pious. MashaAllah, she got cancer. At that time, people, they didn't really know straight away when they got cancer. I think she got breast cancer at that time, his wife. And the king of his time, he had fikr, worry for his wife. How shall I cure my wife? He had fikr. And what did he do? He, in Dakkan, in Hyderabad, he realized there's a woman. She is like a hakima. And hakima is like, she is a doctor. And his wife had breast cancer, and he wanted to solve the issue. So he called that doctor, the female doctor. And he went to that woman and said to the doctor, the tayyiba, that she has come, that please send the wife and get the cure from this doctor. So the woman said, the lady said, that, O king, blessed king, that have you asked your wife what is her condition, what is her situation? And he said, that I will ask, and I've inquired, and mashallah, the doctor is good as well. She said, I found out that she's a master of medicine. So the king asked, ask her, that what does she do when she comes to visit the patients. She said, she solves the problems. She said, can I imagine that I am present in your court, O Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? This was a iman that she had at that time. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers. I'll give an example. The Sahaba, Sahabiya, their examples are also in front of us. And this was the example of a pious woman of her time. As Aisha radiallahu anha said, that in the home, a fakir came. And she said, who is this person who's come? She said, he's a fakir, he's a poor person. Oh, he's bought some food. And she said, give him some food, he's a poor person, he lives a life of poverty. Then the door knocked again, she said, who's come? Then the slave woman said, a fakir has come. She said, a fakir? What kind of fakir? She said, he is daif, he's weak. Okay, call him in, sit him down, give, heat the food up, give him this food, that food, with such caution and care. And then the slave woman said, I don't understand. The first fakir came, you gave food and sent him away. The second fakir came and you invited him and treated him nicely. What's the reason for this? And she said, can I ask you why you did this? What's the difference in the treatment? She said, yeah, there's a reason here that I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my husband, that that person who treats a zaif person, a weak person, an old person, someone who hasn't got any assistance, who can't do himself his own affairs, and respects him and doesn't respect him, then Rasulullah said that he's not from me if he doesn't look after the old people. Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu anha had haya. She had awareness. She had increased heightened of awareness. She said, the old man's come to my house. He's old and frail and weak. I have to call him in. Whatever I had with me, I had to feed him and clothe him and give him assistance. So our environment today, why is there zulm in our society today? Because there's no haya, there's no awareness, there's no modesty, there's no sharing of iman. Why are we unjust to people in our homes? We are unjust to each other. We mete out hard punishments to our relatives, to our wives, our husbands. We lie. We persecute people. We know somebody is weak, that we can suppress him, we can control him, and we can beat him, we can take money from him. And if we get more opportunity, yesterday or a few days ago, I realized that in Pakistan, I heard that blind people were beaten so much that the blind people came out on a march, and the people around them, they didn't want the blind people to speak out, they started to beat them during the march. Can you imagine that such people who are weak, who have got not the senses of eyesight, you are hitting them, you are taking money from them, you're beating them with the sticks and throwing them onto the road. Astaghfirullah. Can we imagine that, can this be the quality of a mu'min, of a believer, that the weak people within the society, we beat them, we murder them? Can you think that a Muslim, he takes the wealth of someone and runs away with it and steals it? Can you imagine that you swear as a Muslim to somebody else, be it Muslim or non-Muslim, or a daif insan, a daif old man or woman? I've seen with my eyes, someone said, oh, go away you old person, I've got no time for you. Are you bringing me money? If you got no money, go away. And the women, the servants in the home, the Muslims today, they beat them, they persecute them. A person's worked for you, he sweated for you, one of your workers or your servants. Go in Middle Eastern countries. Go to our countries. The how we treat the servants like dogs. We treat them like animals. You know, servants come to the homes of Muslims, people who have got wealth, and how the servants are treated. You cannot imagine how they're treated. Servants are treated worse than the animals, worse than the cats. Who does this? The mu'min, the Muslim. Why? Because the Muslim has no haya. He doesn't have the awareness. He doesn't have the awareness of the rights for the other Muslims. So how will we go into Jannah? With this, we will go into Jahannam straight. Rasulullah said, that person who has no haya, that person who has no shame, that person who has no consideration for his
brethren and human relations with other people, he will not go to Jannah, he will go straight into Jahannam. So this is just a general discussion I'm having. I'm just telling you the story of our society, because we are sitting here today for rectification. We've come here for what? Just to do ibadah. We think we are clean and we are forgiven and we're going into paradise. We do dhikr of Allah, we pray salah, we read Quran, we do dhikr in the morning, in the evening. No, brothers, this is not the basis of success. How much haya and shame have we got in our lives? How much consideration and compassion have we got in our lives? All of the success, the hadith of Rasulullah point to one thing, that if we've got consideration and shame and modesty, and we feel for our human brethren, then and only then can we be successful. Rasulullah said that all of the problems in the world today, we have fundamentalists, we have terrorists, we have people who are murderers or killers. They are doing these things. But the reason they are doing these things is that they are not on the station of iman. The Quran says when a person does this, he is not on the status of iman. He is hiding behind the shadow of iman. When a person has a gun or a grenade or a machine gun or a bomb or something, and he kills people indiscriminately without a reason, without a basis, this is such a big crime that we cannot imagine the height of this crime. And what is the punishment for this crime? That forget about non-Muslim or Muslim or whoever it is. A Muslim today is killing a Muslim for no reason at all. So the point I'm trying to say today, the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ teach us, it tells us that when you see dhulam and oppression, what should we do? When we see oppression and dhulam, what should we think? What should we do at that time? That is in our families, in our life, in our society, in our cities, we have gatherings, we have dars, we have hadith, we have tafsir. But according to our society and environment, we are not doing the right things or sharing the right things with our society today that the society needs. We have to speak out and meet out and share with the society what is the need of the society. The Sufi Hazrat, mashallah, especially you brothers who are sitting here today, we need to concentrate on our batin, on our inner self, on our inner state. That if there's one disturbance within our batin, inner self, for example, physically, if you didn't have vitamin D or vitamin B or vitamin C or A, you'll become imbalanced, you'll become sick, and the doctor will say have more of this and more of that. In the same way, Rasulullah says that your batin, your inner self, is full of sins, full of darkness, and you become imbalanced, and then you become like an animal. So we have to follow the example of the Sahaba. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha said, all of these things I'm doing with the old person is due to my consideration for my Muslim brother. Do we do this? We should have love and compassion for each other. Our bodies, ourselves, we should have compassion with other people. How can I speak out against this brother? How can I not be careful with him? How can I not care for him? How can I not clothe him or feed him or give him money? Give rights to your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, your aunties, your grandparents, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your husband's wife, mother, father, son, daughter, every relationship under the sun. What is the right of the husband? What is the right of the wife? What is the right of Puppiji or uncle or auntie? Every relationship has the hukuk, has the rights. You have to read up on this and practice on this. Dispense the rights to the people. If you don't do this, then your deeds are a waste. Oh, this is my mother, I'll give her more rights and I will neglect everybody else. Or this is my wife, I love her more and I won't give to my mother. No way. Give the rights to everybody what they are owed, what they are deserved. Don't give more than that, don't give less than that. If your wife, she asks for more than what she is owed, then say, sorry my wife, I can't give you more than this, because I have to give to others as well, the time, the money, or the rights. And if you are giving less than the basic minimum to each relative, then you are in imbalance and you're not fulfilling the rights of the iman, of your belief. Brothers, let's wake up today, let's do our tazkiyah, let's reflect how much haya, consideration and modesty and shame do I have in my mind. If I've got haya, if I'm on the right level of haya, then I can go and meet my Lord on the day of judgment. And the more haya and consideration I've got, then consider you got more iman. And if you die with this, then you will meet Allah and Allah will be happy. Otherwise there will be no acceptance of my ibadah, my worship. Let's judge ourselves today. Let's judge ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what's the point of what I'm saying? Let's do bismillah. And we just say, oh, let's do dhikr and dua and let's leave the gathering. No, this is not the basis of doing ibadah. Every ibadah we do from morning until night. Understand this point. Keep asking yourself, how do I get this consideration and haya and modesty? We've heard this bayan. Can you change your life by just listening to this bayan? You've heard the solution. It's good to do speech, good to give a lecture, because lecture gives information. communication, like the weather report says today is 20 degrees Celsius, snow will come at 1 p.m, wind is 17 miles an hour, humidity is 65%. The weatherman's telling you all of the things, but is he decreasing the weather? Is he decreasing the heat? Or giving you the nice warm sweater to wear? Or is he giving you the protection central heating in the house? No, he's just giving you the information. So we need to protect ourselves. You've heard the lecture today, you've heard the speech today, you hear other speeches, you get the information into your brain. When you listen to hadith, you read the hadith kitabs, you read the Quran, this is information, communication, data. But what do you do after that? Are you corrected? Are you reformed? Then you go to the next stage. How do I bring this into my life? How do I physically bring this into my life? Understand? So after hearing this speech, you put your hand on the other hand and say, yes, mashallah, I've heard everything today. I've now become a good Muslim. If I say, don't lie, that's information. How will you stop yourself lying? If I say to you, be a good Muslim, have good conduct, you get all these speeches that tell you this. But how will you become a better Muslim? Nobody leaves the bayan and follows the sunnah, stops lying. How do we do these things? Do you understand the point I'm saying? So after saying all of this, my habit is at the end that I give you the solution. Hazrat Lahori rahmatullah alayhi, I remember what he said once. He said that speeches, lectures, when you go to lectures, have you heard of Hazrat Lahori rahmatullah alayhi? Great wali of Allah. In the recent past, he said that giving speeches and lectures, the sheikhs, the scholars, they are the ones who make the sweets. They manufacture the seeds. And the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, they teach you how to eat and digest the sweet. So alhamdulillah, here I make the sweet and I help you to digest the sweet. So I give you the information and I tell you how to swallow the information, how to digest the information and how to bring it into practice. So definitely go to the lectures, listen to bayans, listen to the speeches, sit with the scholars, read the hadith, listen to the hadith. But for the solution to practice on this information, you have to attend the gathering of dhikr. Reform your heart. If the scholar tells you, don't lie, this is haram, this is halal, this is tafsir of Quran, Allah said this, this is tafsir of this hadith, but this is information you've been given. How do you bring that into your heart so that your heart loves to leave those things? So that your heart loves to practice those things. How will you do that? If I give you a 3-4 hour tafsir today, which I can do on this verse of the Quran, how many people will change you to that? Maybe 1 out of 1,000. Maybe 3 brothers. Take 3,000 people. I've seen 3,000 people in a lecture. They're crying. They're listening. After that, they go back and their life is still the same as when they came to the lecture. But when you do dhikr of Allah, you are sincere. You make the knee and the heart. And you recite the name of Allah. That will take you to the solution. So the point I'm saying, how will compassion come into my life? How will haya come into my life? How will shame come into my life? How will I leave the sins? How will I bring these things to my life? I ask you, all of you brothers, tell me. If you want compassion and haya, raise your hands. Do you want compassion? Do you want haya? Do you want shame? If you've raised your hands and you know that this is such a trait that it will take you to paradise, Allah will be pleased with you, your deeds will be accepted. You will accept this, don't you? Then for your home, for yourself, for your family, if you go to buy a bulb, if the bulb is fused and you go to the shop to buy the bulb to illuminate your room, is it free of charge? You have to pay for it. If you go to buy the bread or the food, you have to pay for it, of course. So you are looking for haya. You want to please Allah with compassion. Will you get it free of charge? Without any struggle? No. If I said to you, £100,000, give to me, and I'll tell you the solution. Is this a cheap bargain? It's a cheap bargain. Even then it's a cheap bargain, because it will give us paradise. If I say, whatever you've got, bring and I'll give to you haya. We should be happy to do that. Can you buy haya from a store? Can you buy haya from Sainsbury's? From the grocery department? Can you buy haya and shame from Harrods in Knightsbridge, the most expensive store in London? Will they give you haya? You can spend millions, but you won't get haya. Where will you get it from? Straight away, I won't be able to go to sleep tonight until I get haya, until I get shame, compassion. Which shop shall I go to? Which high street? My brothers, from which shop? You'll get it from the shop and you'll get it free. Allah Ta'ala guarantees that you'll get it and you'll get it free. And Allah Ta'ala says, come to my khairat, to my treasures. Allah Ta'ala says, I will give the treasures. I will give it from my shop, Allah Ta'ala says, from the shop of the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah. Say subhanAllah. Why do we go to the gatherings of the walis of Allah, to the friends of Allah, the ahlullah? Because from the gatherings of the ahlullah, you get free prescriptions that take you to the solutions of society and mankind in this day and age. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the stores free of charge. In every country around the world, Allah Ta'ala has sent His guides, Just like the Rasuls came to their people, Allah Ta'ala says, I've not kept mankind devoid today. From the lying you will go far. From oppression, from stealing, from lying, from swearing, from cursing people, you will be freed from the chains of these sins. Rahmah will come, mercy will come, bounties will come, satisfaction, contentment will come in your life. Such a big thing is haya, compassion and consideration. Kamil iman. Rasulullah said, that Muslim who has compassion, consideration, haya, modesty and shame, he has complete iman. So if we understand this point today, you will become the complete and total Muslim. And how are you getting it? Free of charge. Where from? From the chain of the walis of Allah. Go to the store of a wali of Allah, sit in his company and say, Shaykh, I want your company, teach me how can I get haya. How can I bring haya into my life? And how do you obtain it? Look how Allah Ta'ala has prepared. Imagine. How do you get haya? Compassion, you don't have to make no struggle. You don't have to pay. You don't have to run after them and beg them. Prostrate to a person, astaghfirullah, and ask for something. Beg, no. Allah says, sit in my gathering and ask from me. Sit in the gathering of the wali of Allah. Look at the wali of Allah. Listen to what he is saying. Be sincere. Just sit in that gathering where he is teaching the rules and the solutions. Allah says, you've come to the gathering of the pious gathering of my wali. And you've come here with sincerity. I'm not saying this. The Quran says, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladheena amanu, koonu ma sadiqeen, la'allakum tattaqoon. Allah says, go to the tattaqoon people. Who are they? Koonu ma sadiqeen, the tattaqoon. The gatherings of the sadiqeen, of the muttaqi people who fear Allah, is when you sit in their company, the people who fear Allah, then you will attain the love of Allah. If you have the intention, you are sitting in the gathering of dhikr, the wali of Allah is present, he's speaking and teaching. If you are sincere, doesn't matter if you don't know anybody, this is the line of the masjid. We are in the masjid, the house of Allah. And a Muslim comes to pray Salah in the masjid, and another Muslim comes and joins the saf, and he stands next to him. The person who's standing, he is pious, friend of Allah, let's call him. He's praying Salah, he's sincere. And another person comes, doesn't practice Sharia, doesn't practice Sunnah. He stands next to the wali of Allah and he starts to pray with him. Stands next to him. Inshallah, 1 month if they pray next to each other, then he won't become stranger. He will become a person unique in his practice, alhamdulillah. Because of the company. Look at these people, how they change. The wali of Allah has not spoke to him. He's not said anything to him. He just stood next to him in his company and prayed Salah next to the wali of Allah. The color of Allah's deen comes after 1 month. You cannot recognize. You'll say, this sinner, he came to the masjid for a month. Look how he's changed. He looks so beautiful. Am I right or am I wrong? Totally true what I'm saying. I'm speaking in the house of Allah. Just try this experiment. If you think you are sinful, you are bad, go and sit with good people. Stand next to them. Read next to them, pray Salah next to them, subhanAllah. In the Malfuzat of a great Shaykh, rahmatullah alayhi, he said that there was a gathering of a Shaykh, just like we've got this majlis of dhikr in Hindustan, in India. And the dhikr of Qar, weekly, daily, people used to recite and do dhikr, and the Shaykh would sit, just like I used to travel to my Shaykh 25, 30 years ago, in the dry masjid, dry straw mats outside, there were goats and sheep herding around and chickens, and it was the desert environment and village. SubhanAllah, we used to have hardship and struggles. When we used to go to my Sheikh's Khankar Masjid, there was flies, there was no AC, no air conditioning, no fans. Once a day we used to eat, and that was dry chapatis from the tandoor. And what was the dish? Was the dry potatoes with onions. All day we'd had nothing to eat, but we had the great food of the dhikr of Allah in the gathering of my Sheikh. Alhamdulillah. And there was no fussiness there, no people complaining, or it's hot or cold, or this and that. So even the dog used to come and sit in the outskirts of the gathering of dhikr. And then after a while he would leave. And when Hazrat used to speak, all the brothers were there, the students were there. And Hazrat used to look around, and the dog would come regularly to the gathering. MashaAllah, the color of the deen even had a rub-off effect on the dog. SubhanAllah. So once in the gathering, the dog, when he left the gathering, then many other dogs started to follow the dog. And Hazrat said once that, mashallah, that dog's become like the head of his tribe, that the other dogs are benefiting from it. Even the animals benefit from the surroundings of Allah Ta'ala's home. So a few days that dog didn't come. And the Shaykh said in Hindustan, where's that dog gone? I haven't seen him. We can't see him for 2-3 days. He's away from the gathering for a few days. And they saw that Kalwa, that he came for a few days, he sat in the outskirts of the gathering, and then Hazrat, who was Sahib Kashf, while he was speaking, He said, look how unconscious and uncompassionate people, they do zina, they come to the gathering. They don't even do tawbah, they come to the gathering, they do zina. They look at bad things, they say evil things. And Hazrat gave this bayan a few days before when Kalwa the dog didn't come. And Kalwa, when he heard this bayan, he went and he fell in the stream. He was so sad and distressed that he fell in the stream and he passed away. And 2-3 days the dog didn't come. And Hazrat asked the gathering, the brothers, that this dog has not come. They said, Hazrat, 2-3 days ago, he left the gathering, looked distressed, and he passed away when he fell in the stream. And the Shaykh explained that the dog was so, he felt so bad due to the sin that he himself committed before coming to the gathering, that he passed away in the sadness and the distress. What about we human beings? Allah Ta'ala has made us ashraf al-makhlukat, the superior form of creation. Allah says the human beings are the highest form of creation for which the dunya, the universe was created. We sit, we listen to the Quran, the hadith, the sayings of Rasulullah ﷺ, and it has no effect on us. We feel no shame. When a person sits in the company of the wali of Allah, the friends of Allah, his life starts to change. His character starts to change. Nothing benefits a Muslim in the gathering of Allah Ta'ala's house, in the gathering of the wali of Allah, but he benefits by increasing and improving his haya. To increase your haya, to increase your compassion and shame and modesty, go attend the gatherings of the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, keep his company and see how your conduct, your akhlaq starts to improve, increase. Do dua, pray to Allah after every salah. Allah, don't leave me alone. Allah, give me good company with whom I can spend my life, who can take away my deficiencies and improve my conduct and character. And when Allah says to us on the Day of Judgment, you had the means, you had the company, at least you could have done dua in your home, Allah, that give me a pious servant of yours, a wali of Allah. We are afraid when we do this dua, Allah, I don't want to do this dua to you. I don't want the company of your good people, your pious people, because you might send me to your pious people, and then I will become pious and I'll have to leave the sins. Allah, I don't want this. We are afraid we do this today. Astaghfirullah. Will you be disturbing somebody else? My brothers, your life, your quality of life will increase. It will improve. You'll become better people, better human beings. So don't fall into the trap of shaitan. Allah Ta'ala says the life will continue. Your work, your money, your wealth, your business will continue. But with good company, good sohbat, your character will start to improve and transform and become great. So summarizing what I said today, the summary of what I'm trying to say today, that haya, modesty, compassion for each other, and shame is a great characteristic and attribute, and we need to gauge and measure, do we have this? Then if I think I'm running after women, I'm lying, I'm cheating, committing fraud, and deceiving people, then I know that my compassion, haya, and shame is on a low level, very weak level. And those Muslims who look at strange men and women, the gayr mahram, then the darkness and the evil and the dirt is in their eyes, then how can there be beauty and attraction in their haya and in their iman? Doesn't matter how much that woman puts on makeup. Doesn't matter how much he tries to attract her husband. Astaghfirullah. Rasulullah ﷺ said that this person's iman is weak. A person who doesn't obey Rasulullah ﷺ, doesn't follow Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa, doesn't follow the wives of Rasulullah ﷺ, doesn't follow the lives of the Sahaba. If you don't see the actions of the Muslims on his body, on his face, in his haya, then his Islam is weak. But that woman, the woman who has makeup and goes into the world, and that woman who has no makeup and stays in the confines of her home, see the difference in the haya. There will be maybe no makeup and no powder on that woman in the home, but she will look so beautiful and attractive because she has haya within her. This is the fact I'm telling you. This is fact. All of this makeup and beauty products are artificial. If we don't use the beauty products and solutions that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, me as well, us as well, men, for us it's the same. We have also spoilt our faces. Allah Ta'ala's hikmah we don't follow. We don't follow the deen of Allah. If we were to adorn our faces due to the hukum of Allah, then we ourselves would be beautiful and attractive. What do? We use soap, body wash, gel. We think we look beautiful. Allah says, how can you be beautiful if you are committing sins and your heart is black? Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you the methods of how to beautify yourself. You don't follow that and you are following the way of shaitan, the deceit of shaitan and your nafs, and you think you are beautiful. Allah says, beautiful is that person who follows the orders of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, why do you spoil your faces? Why do you spoil your bodies and your hearts? Allah says, the Muslim who obeys Allah's orders and he utilizes the methods that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given to him, he is the person who will have haya. He is the person. Then Allah says, 1,000 places you can go into the world, 1,000 occasions, you'll find thousands of people that will give the name of Rasulullah, but their lives, their appearance, their bodily lifestyle, their outward lifestyle, inner lifestyle is totally opposite to Rasulullah ﷺ, and behind them is the slap of shaitan. This is a hadith. So all of this, why is this happening? Why is there darkness in society? No haya, no compassion, no shame. If we had haya, then would we go into the dunya and commit sin? I gave the example of that Muslim wife of the king. How can I let the hand of a sinful doctor touch me? How will I show my face to Allah on the day of judgment? Subhanallah. She said, how can the doctor woman touch me on my body? What? How will I answer to Allah Ta'ala that this person touched me? I can read tahajjud in the night, do dhikr, but how will I show Allah Ta'ala my face? That who consumes such things, how can I allow them to come near me and touch me? Subhanallah, who can think like this? Only that person was haya. May Allah Ta'ala give us all haya, compassion and shame, and the high status of iman. May Allah Ta'ala accept us sitting and listening. Ameen. Read the durushli.